Give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I got some great news for you. I'm looking up. We only got just got 28 people in the queue here today. I probably ought to wait to unveil this exciting announcement till a few more people get rolling in here. Some of you out there a little late joiners. Let me make this clear that there are more than 28 people listening to this show right now. The way our system is set up, you can join what we call the queue. You can go to our website, go to CoachDaveLive.com, and you can click on there. It says join the huddle, and you can click on join the huddle, and you can come right in here, and you can be a commentator in here just like everybody else. We've got a lot of people who are listening to, watching the show that are not in the queue. We have a lot of post-show downloads. The shows are always available on our website, CoachDaveLive.com. You can go there. You can play it later. You can share it with other people. The podcasts are there. The audio, the video is there. It's all there. And so we're just excited and trying to be faithful here with the gift that the Lord's given us to continue to expand the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. We think that in the multitude of many counselors, great wisdom. We don't think that anybody has a real corner on the truth. We think certainly not your pastor. And we think that if we get around and we throw a piece of meat on the table and we cut that piece of meat up and we chew on that thing, that somewhere along the line we're going to get to a point that makes a little bit of sense. One of the things I've tried to impress upon people is this. Here's why this format that we're using is so effective. You go to church. Can you imagine if you went to church and while you're in church, the pastor's given you is in the midst of a sermon. And he talks about something, and all of a sudden, a light bulb goes on in your head. And so that light bulb goes in your head, and you're thinking, wow, as he's still continuing with his sermon, he said something, and you said, you know what? But this is what would happen to me. I always try to tell people, when you're reading the scripture, when someone says, let's turn to John 3:16, and we read John 3:16, and we said, the Lord said it, I believe it, that settles it. However, when you do that, you take the Bible out of context. Context is everything. In other words, I could come on here and you could pull out some phrase that I would say like, we need to be proud that we're white. I could use that phrase and guys at Right Wing Watch would grab it and say, racist coach says he's proud to be white. Well, that's taking what I said out of context, right? We hear a lot of that in our churches as well. A lot of it. Things that are taking out of context. For instance, God loves everybody. Oh, that'll get me going here. But that, to me, I got to tell you something. That's taken out of context. It's taken out of context. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Boom. Folks, it's a great scripture. It's true, but it's out of context. Unless you read what he said before and what he said afterwards, it is not going to make any sense or not the sense that you want it to make. So when you're standing in a congregation, and a pastor is giving you a sermon and he's pulling a scripture from here and a scripture from here, and he's trying to show you that the Bible says the same thing over and over, be very, very careful because it is out of context, okay? It's out of context. And one of the things that we try to guard against here is being able to recognize when something is out of context. So I was talking about you're sitting in your church, your pastor's giving a sermon, he says something, and right away in your spirit, you say, well, wait a minute. And here's what I do. I read before and I read after, and all of a sudden I realize, ooh, pastor, that was out of context. Did you ever at that one point want to say, time out, pastor, time out, reverend, time out. I got a question on something you just said. In the middle of a sermon, you ever done that? Ever? How about this? You ever feel that you had the liberty to say that? You ever feel that you have the liberty to interrupt your pastor's sermon? Why not? I spent a career as a teacher. It would be crazy if I told the children that I was teaching hey, listen, while I'm teaching, you're not allowed to ask questions. That would be stupid, wouldn't it? The whole idea of my teaching is to answer their questions. That's the whole idea of it. But the way the modern American church flows is, guy up on the pulpit, could be a guest speaker. He has a sermon prepared, and he last thing he wants is you jumping up and asking a question that's going to divert you away, anyone away from the message that he's trying to bring. Folks, that isn't teaching. That is not teaching. Now, I often thought that in my own walk, when a pastor makes a point, or one of those moments I just thought about where I said, well, wait a minute, that's not quite right. Hey, pastor, let me ask you a question. I noticed this, that when that topic, whatever that phrase is, whatever that scripture is that makes me go off on a tangent to think for a minute, while I'm thinking about what he just said, I miss what he's saying next. I miss it. Maybe it's 2 seconds, maybe it's 5 seconds, maybe whatever. But when your mind is directed one direction and you're running down that bunny trail, you're not listening to the bunny trail over here. And so,
amen.
That is, in my opinion, that's the danger. See, preaching, friends, listen to me, alone is not teaching. That's why we have the fivefold ministry. Ooh, thank you. That's from the Holy Spirit. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers. See, pastors, you're not just supposed to preach, you're supposed to teach. And if you're teaching, then you have to allow the people to ask questions. I remember when I was in high school, I'm going to finish this up a minute because I think it's important for us to understand this. I had the worst time with Algebra 1, just simple old Algebra 1. I could not solve for X. Do you guys remember solving for X? And solving for X was 3X equal 18. And then they would show you how to make brackets and however you would do that math process. You come down, X equals 6. I couldn't get it. I could not get what they were doing. Or it was even worse than this. There was a 3X plus 6 plus 2 in brackets equals, remember how they do that? I couldn't get it. And I would go there and I'd sit in algebra class and he would teach the same thing. Otho Simmons, I remember his name. He would teach the same thing he taught the day before and I wasn't getting it. Now he would get angry with me because I didn't get it. But the truth is I wasn't getting it. Finally, my football coach, I was only a freshman in high school. I told my football coach, he says, hey, listen, I'll get Steve Siegel to help you. And Steve Siegel, who was a senior on the football team, sat down with me for about 10 minutes and explained how that thing worked, what those brackets meant, what the plus meant, what the minus. And I had it. Oh, that is so simple. But Mr. Simmons wouldn't stop to do that because he was in the midst of am I making sense to you? And if you think those of you sitting in your church are all at the same level spiritually, then you are really, really crazy. So when a pastor comes and gives a sermon, I believe this, just like this, okay, like this for everybody. The sermon is dumbed down because the pastor has to figure out when he gives the sermon, am I speaking to the really smart guys or am I speaking to these down here who are just getting started? That's why the lecture type church services that we have are not effective. Not effective. I don't ever want to be that, okay? I don't ever want to be that. I don't know all the truth. I'm trying to find out all the truth. And you are welcome to come in here and help me dig through it and try to find it. And at the end of the day, we're allowed to disagree. You don't have to agree with me. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to teach what I believe. I will not teach what you believe just because you believe that, okay? So that's where we are. And then I don't even like to use the word teach because all I'm doing is trying to lead a discussion that we all come to some whatever. Let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth. I know there are those out there right now who don't agree with some of the stuff I say. I get it. Hey, can I tell you this? I don't agree with a lot of you. But that's okay. It's okay. It's all good, man. It's all good. So thanks for being here with us. See, I'm up to 37 people. I'll go ahead and break this big news. Are you ready? Are y'all sitting down? Mark Trump got a job. Mark Trump got a job. Now, I know for some of you, because I get the emails, how concerned you folks are because Mark hasn't had a job. And I've heard from you. Mark, hey, coach, Mark needs to get a job. How's he? They actually been saying that to me, Mark. And I said, listen, Mark ain't looking for a job. Mark's on a journey here. He's on a journey. He's on a spiritual journey. And I know because I've been watching for quite a while that he could have had, you better hear me, he could have had several J-O-Bs. He could have had several of those. In fact, he came out of a life where he was making a lot of money doing J-O-Bs and was miserable. And he said, I will never go back and give my entire life to working for the man. I'm not going to do that. When I go back and I go to work, Mark said, I'm going to do it. Serving the Lord is going to be my number one priority, and I'm going to continue to do that. And if I cannot serve the Lord as I work for the man, I ain't taking the job. He got a job. Mark got a job. Hey, boys and girls, it ain't minimum wage. All right? It ain't minimum wage. And I just want to thank all of you out there who have prayed for Mark and worried about Mark. I've been watching it up close and personal, the struggle that he was waiting to get the job that he believed the Lord opened the door for. Now, is this it? Is this a permanent job? We have to all be flexible and ready to move. But Mark has a job. Mark, you want to say anything about it, Mark? Do you want to add anything to that? Because I think there are probably others out there that are struggling with the same thing. They want to serve the Lord. They don't want to be tied down all the time to the man. They want to be free. They want to have their life. Anything you want to add to that, Mark?
Just a thanks to a lot of the specific people and everyone in general who've supported and prayed through this season of my life. I've learned so much from the people who have sat with me and talked with me and shared with me their issues. So that's what got me through. It's the Jesus inside each one of you. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that.
And Mark, you knew all along, folks, this is important. I want you to hear this. He knew all along that he had obligations to raise his family and take care of his. He understood that. He understood that. But he understood that the Lord is his provider, not some big multinational company. And he knew that he had an obligation to find out. He knew it. But he was intent on, I am not going back into that rat race where I have to fly around the country all the time and not be home and not be able to go and help and do people because I got to earn stinking money. I will not go back into that trap. Isn't that the fight you fought, Mark?
It is. And in some ways that one, I still have to keep my mind on Jesus while I'm in this workplace. But It's going to be a challenge, but it's no more than sharpening me for whatever's next. I don't know what God's got planned, but I do believe I'm on a journey. I didn't mean to be a topic of your show today, Coach, but I appreciate it. I am on a journey. We all should be on a journey. We all should be.
And Mark, and here's the amazing thing, folks. Are you ready for this, folks? Mark can work from home. Mark's business acumen and his business skills are so desired and so rare that companies are doing things they have never done before. They're not. One company wanted him to move to New York City. They were going to pay him handsomely. He said, I'm not going to move to New York City. I'm not going to go do that. I'm not going to fly to Saskatchewan. I'm not going to do that. And so he held his ground. He trusted the Lord. He continued to serve the Lord. And Mark now has a job beginning in November, I believe. Mark pushed it back to November 1, and he will work. Mark Trump can do his job from wherever he is. It's computer based. And so praise the Lord. The Lord honored Mark with a very good job that Mark still has the liberty to serve the Lord. Isn't that it, Mark?
Hey, Dave, if I may, you know, Abraham was supposed to have waited for a blessing. He didn't wait. And now we have Islam.
And that's the truth. I tried to help God.
Thank you for waiting, Mark. Who knows what you would have brought?
And see, no,
that would be Hillbilam or something, right?
See, the people don't, what they don't understand, Mark. All those, this is a good lesson here, folks. All those who were concerned and worried about, boy, Mark needs to get the job. Mark gets the job. Hey, boys and girls, let me tell you something. You ain't walking his walk. You're not walking his walk. It's easy for us to sit back and say what somebody else needs to do. You're not walking his walk. It's important for us to always remember that. And so I just rejoice with him that he has a job. And Mark, you could start it in a week if you wanted to. You could start it in 2 weeks if you want to. But you said, no, I got other stuff to be able to do. And you have your
Liberty. Remember, I'm sorry, Dave.
If
we remember, if Peter could walk on water as long as he kept his eyes on Christ. And the moment he looked back at that boat to see if those other guys were watching him, he dropped in the water. Literally. So
That's right.
We've got to stay focused on what we're doing. Stay focused on Christ. He'll fight for you. He'll give you opportunities to put those things in your path as long as your mind's right and your eyes are on him. Amen.
He's testing your mettle. He's testing your mettle.
So amen.
You have a job for a year or whatever. They say, come to New York. We'll pay a $250,000. Come on up here in New York. We'll work for $250,000. Now, I don't know who you are. Somebody says, come up. Hey, coach, come on up here and work for $250,000. I think, woo, are you kidding me? $250,000. And Mark said, I'm going to be careful here. I ain't sliding back into that prison. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. How many of you could walk away from a job like that? And we have to be careful because many of us have been guilty of saying, God, Trump a slacker? He's a slacker. He don't even have a job. You have any idea what he's been walking through? You have no idea. And so I just rejoice with you, Mark. I rejoice with Judy, because I'm sure it's a
amen. Thank you, Coach.
It's all good, brother. It's all good. And by the way, we could all be dead tomorrow, right? And it ain't gonna matter what company you work for when that moment comes. Hey, Serge needs some prayer. Serge does. I just got a text message. Serge, let me pull this up here. Hey, folks, I'm sorry. We're like a family here, okay? We're like a family. Surges. Let me find the text message. I'm sorry, man. Oh, I hate phones. When you touch them, they pop up. Everything pops up on here. Quit that. Golly. Chad just said that Surge has TMJ, which is temporal mandibular joint. Is that right, Chad? TMJ. And he cannot eat solid foods. He can't chew or even speak for at least a week. So, we're going to pray for our brother. I'm going to have Pastor Dale. Pastor Dale, you pray for Serge this morning?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's pretty brutal. My wife had to have jaw surgery because of TMJ. Well, Father, we do lift up Serge to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, you see his situation. You see where he's having the difficulties with chewing and eating. And Lord, I pray not only is your grace sufficient, but that your word is mighty. And Father God, Lord, that your word is also medicine. You are Jehovah Rophe, is one of your attributed names. You are the God that healeth thee. And if not, God, you are the God that brings him through. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, whether healing or whether you use medical field to help him, I pray, Father God, a complete restoration in my brother and in his jaw. And Father, we will give you the praise at the end of the day for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Get healthy there.
Amen. Sir. Amen.
Amen, old buddy.
Hey, Coach, I want to go back real quick and just throw that in there. You know, we had our missionary. I had Andrew Street in last week. And one of the things I sat him down, you know, the typical missionary, well, how long do I have? What can I talk about? I said, Andrew, I just want to let you know, I'm not going to ask you those questions. But I will tell you this, in my congregation, my people do interact. So they might ask you questions in the middle of the service, which you probably don't get anywhere else. But I said, that is how we roll.
Mm-hmm. It's the only way to roll, brother. That's what I think. It's the only way to roll.
How can you have iron sharpening iron if you don't allow the clashing of the swords?
Yeah, how do you know? How do you know where your pastor stands if you're not free to ask him? How do you know that? I don't want to get too deep. Hey, Robert Klaus, you ready, Robert? You ready to give us your September 26th? We had a great birthday. By the way, also, I forgot. Yesterday was my daughter Abby's 36th birthday, and we had a party. And, of course, Mark Trump's here, and Joseph Allen's here to help, just doing remarkable stuff here, helping us out. And Trump just kind of looks at me and says, Coach, it's my birthday, too. So yesterday was Trump's birthday. So Mark Trump, we let him eat some cake with us yesterday. He and Abby had the same birthday. So September 26th, we're reading out of, Robert Klaus is going to read to us, out of Finders Keepers, Finders of Truth and Keepers of the Faith, a daily devotional. We suggest you have this and give this to your friends because this is hard. This isn't walking down the primrose lane, some type of devotional. Right? This isn't your daily cracker, daily breadcrumb. This is deep stuff. So, Robert, go ahead and hit us here in the mouth, buddy, on September 26th.
Okay, Coach. This is short, but it's salty and to the point, okay? Here's a quote from George Whitefield, the great revivalist. He says, "A true faith in Jesus Christ will not suffer us to be idle. No, it is an active, lively, restless principle. It fills the heart so that it cannot be easy until it is doing something for Jesus Christ." That's George Whitefield.
That's why we're activist Christians, not pacifist Christians. Right, Robert?
That's right. The title of the devotion is, "What is the Spirit saying to the churches?" In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus gave some very important exhortations through the Spirit of God to the churches concerning what they should do, what to repent of, and what to expect, and what to practice. It is time for churches to wake up, rise up, repent, and start being the overcomers, pillars and supports of the truth, the salt and light, and temples of the living God that they are called to be.
Mm-hmm.
Twice the Spirit talks about those who claim to be Jews, or spiritual ones, but weren't, who loved doing deeds but had left their first love, yeah, who had a name that suggested life yet were dead, who claimed to be wealthy and adorned yet were spiritually bankrupt and naked. Thank the Lord that that His will and desire is for those whom He loves, reproves, and disciplines to respond properly and become overcomers of all that seeks to overcome them, so that they may be partakers of all that He has promised them. That's the devotion for today.
Amen. In other words, you can't be a Christian, amen, and be a pinfitter. Is that it, Robert?
That's right, Coach.
You can't be a football player and be on the disabled list all the time, right? You can't be a baseball catcher and never get behind the plate. You can't be a Christian and never engage in a battle. Folks, you just can't be. Now, you can put on the catcher's equipment, and you can go in your prayer closet, and you can act like you're catching for the New York Yankees, but you ain't catching for the New York Yankees. You ain't doing it till you put the helmet and the face mask and the chin guards and the chest protector, and you put the cup on and go out there and squat down behind it and catch the ball thrown by whoever. You are playing. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. Faith without works, faith without corresponding action, ain't no faith at all. Oh, my goodness. Come on, church. Come on, church.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What that's like, that's like you want to go to the Super Bowl and somebody comes up and sells you a discount ticket for $10. And it looks like a good ticket. It's real pretty, all colorful, got shiny stuff on it. But you get up to the gate and you find out it's a counterfeit ticket. Guess what? There's a whole lot of people calling themselves men of God standing behind pulpits that are passing out counterfeit tickets.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Well, hey, Larry, we got counterfeit dollars and we don't get it. We don't get that one even, huh? So a lot of frauds out there, a lot of fakes out there. I'm sending something to you real quick here, Jared or Connor. I meant to send this earlier. Give me a second here. Somebody come on and just give me 30 seconds.
Hey Coach, kind of like that picture I sent you. I talked with Roger, that of TV evangelist yesterday. We have exchanged the cross of the Christ for Corvettes on the platform.
Oh, man.
I think Patrick's wanting to get in here. I think Patrick's wanting to get in.
Come on in here, Patrick. Anyone in here?
Yes. Can everybody hear me?
Yep.
You can hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. I wasn't sure for a moment. I have a bill that my team and I have put together. It's called the Human Rights for All Act.
Hey, Patrick. People are saying right now.
Yes, sir.
Who the heck's Patrick and what's his team?
Huh? Okay. Well, I can say that. I was a candidate for the Ohio House of Representatives at one time, and last year, back in 18, I was a candidate for the United States House of Representatives from Ohio, Ohio's 7th U.S. District.
Okay, so now we're following. Okay, go ahead.
And in that time, my team and I, which would be my campaign team that was put together during that whole time, I and my team were ones to come up with solutions to matters, not just talk rhetoric and say, "Oh yeah, I'll work on fixing that," and have no actual plan. So we've come up with a number of different things. One of the big things that we spent over 4+ years working on and researching and doing was our Human Rights for All Act, which in a Reader's Digest version ends abortion in this country forever. And I'd like to kind of lay it out here a little bit to everybody because, well, we need support in getting this done and making it happen so that we can save as many of God's children as possible. So if I can take the time, I'd be grateful.
Come on, you're taking the time. Give it to us.
All right. Well, first of all, in this bill, the first thing we do, which is to declare that human life actually starts at the moment of conception and make that law.
You know it says that in the preamble of the Constitution, Patrick? Did you know it says to ourselves and our posterity? To ourselves and our posterity. It's in the it's not in the Declaration. It's in the Constitution of the United States. Our posterity is protected.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. Well, and we declare, but there's been the controversy of when does actual human life start. So we define in specific terms exactly when human life starts, so that, as you said, Coach, the Constitution of the United States and all 50 constitutions of all 50 states actually take over. And what I'm about to say after this doesn't really matter, because you just go, you default back to the constitutions, because all of them have language in there that says you cannot take a human life in this country without judicial due process, which means you have to have a court. You have to have a court sentence you to death or something before you can take their life. And if you take their life prior to that time, you've now committed murder. So that number one, that in and of itself takes care of the whole thing. We also then proceed on to make it an actual medical procedure to do, which is not currently that way, and a documented medical procedure to do. We have also with it that there's cases of, and I know the 100%ers here, and who I define as 100%ers, are going to jump up and down because of the one term I start with. I'm probably going to just tune it all out. But you can't do that, because you need to hear exactly what the situation is. Because there's medical technology, for example, in the life of the mother and the child, where the risks of losing the mother and the child because of medical technology today is very rare. It's not a common thing as used to be in the past because of medical technology. So there is an exception in this bill for the life of the mother and the life of the mother and or the child. But with C-sections and things like that, that they have in the medical technology, that's rarely happens. There's two other exceptions. One is for incest and one is for rape. In both those cases, because of the traumatic experience of the woman, the chances of them actually getting pregnant are very slim anyway. And medical technology and things like that have told us that too. Now, in the case of like rape, you have to have a rape kit test done.
You're bogging us down here, brother. You're bogging us down. So, okay. Where would we find this stuff, Patrick?
The best place to find it would be on. Yes, there's a Facebook page. It's Patrick J. Quinn for Ohio's 7th U.S. District, and that's. The whole thing is spelled out. The whole bill is spelled out there in an outline form.
That's what we need to see.
And that's on Facebook. I'm sorry, what was that?
People need to be able to see it and read it so they understand what's going on.
Right.
Hey, listen, folks. You only retain about 20% of what you hear. All right? I'm not being critical. So we hear
no,
what
that's
Patrick,
true.
But we're not retaining it. We need to see it. So you need to see it, read it, hear it, all that stuff. And I'm not trying to be mean, Dave. Patrick, I'm not trying to be mean. All right, man. So let's do this.
Yeah, I get it.
Let's do this, Patrick. You're in the queue. You give me the link to your Facebook page. Thanks, Mark. Go around here, plug it in for me. And then we'll get into my cord's running low. Mark's come to my rescue here. Where did I plug this thing?
And I see it up there. That is the page. That's correct, right there.
Okay.
The Navy football helmet there and whatnot. And it is in there. You may have to scroll down. Possibly it should be towards the top. I think. But you may have to scroll down. But it is there. Somewhere.
All right.
I'm not sure.
Talk about later on because listen. Home. That have to do with the exact same thing. It's really where I was heading this morning. So Patrick, you know, put your Facebook page, whatever, in the link here, or give me some information on it so when the next time we talk about it, we can see it. We know what we're talking about here. All right.
Yeah, I'm good. Yep. Okay. Well, yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. So folks, listen, here's what, how do I connect these two dots? Here's how I connect these two dots. The scripture says that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. We are lawless in the United States of America. We're lawless. You say, what do you mean, Coach, we're lawless? Well, folks, there is no equal, I hate to come back to that term, there's no equal justice in America. We see what they're doing to President Trump again. Now, listen, hey, I don't worship President Trump. Save me your emails. All right? Save them. I'm going to say it again. Don't send me your emails about Trump. Don't do that. There's Noah Hyde laws. Don't send those to me. Don't send me emails about Trump and Jared Kushner. Don't send me those emails because I'm going to tell you something right now. As I said 1,000 times, if Donald Trump is a double agent playing for the deep state, we are screwed. We are screwed if that is the case, okay? And so you say, yeah, well, Coach, you got to read some of this stuff on him because, man, there is some stuff in there. I'm not okay with his homosexual stuff. I ain't okay with all of that stuff. But what's your alternative? What is your alternative? I'm waiting. Somebody tell me right now. I don't go down this street. What is your alternative to Donald Trump? Impeaching? We want to impeach Donald Trump? You know, folks, if they try to impeach Donald Trump, there's going to be a civil war in this country. Do you understand that? They say, well, Coach, that's the way they set it up. That's what they're trying to do, Coach. Oh, really? Really? Huh? You know, would you want to get up in the morning, every morning, and have to deal with the crap that guy's dealing with, and you telling me they're on the same team? You really? 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 And President Trump goes to the UN, and at the United Nations, he gives a speech that you say, well, Coach, it's just fake. He's just a fake. Well, he may be. Hillary's the real deal, though, right? She's the real deal. And Ted Cruz, he's the real deal. But that Trump, oh, he's fake. What? What is wrong with you? He is the least. See, listen. What if we got behind his positions and not him? What if the Republican Party, see, Trump's in trouble because he's doing what the Republicans said they were going to do for all those years and didn't do them. And we kept electing them, and we're 45 years down the road, and Patrick Quinn is now trying to, not making fun of you, Patrick, trying to convince us that the human being's a baby. We're still at the point we're arguing over that. Arguing over when you can kill him. We're still there doing that? Are you kidding me? Jeb Bush was president. Abortion wouldn't even be talked about if Jeb Bush was president. Pence, Ted Cruz, it wouldn't even be talked about. But you said, well, Trump's a double agent. He's just reeling everybody. Oh, well, I'm reeled in then. Because he's talking about things that I think are important and matter to me. I'm upset about the homo thing. I'm upset about that. I don't agree with him on homo. But, you know, a lot of things, that boy's done pretty good. And now we know what Joe Biden did. We know what he did. Joe Biden told us what he did. This is so critical for you to understand. The devil is so good. Makes you almost want to tip your cap to him. Almost. He's so good. Don't you folks understand? And now it's the Ukraine. The Ukraine. See, I knew that. I knew Trump was, I knew he was conspiring with those Russians. See, there he is. He's conspiring with the Ukrainians. See, I told you it's Russian. It's been that Russian collusion. And you know why they're doing it, my friends? Because most of you think the Ukraine's part of Russia. You're so stupid, you don't even know that the Ukraine is not part of Russia. And so the average people, when they hear Ukraine, they think Russia. Yeah, see, Trump was conspiring with the... Didn't you see the deception? Didn't you see it? Can't you see that Joe Biden did exactly what they're accusing? Whoa, rules for radicals. Jerry, can you pull that up there real quick?
Or Carl, rules?
Yeah, yeah.
While we're waiting for that to come up, Jim Harrison sent me an email last night, and I went over to it early this morning, and I did some research, and I couldn't believe what I found out. And this is just for people to put inside their thinking cap to think on later, maybe. But you know, there are only four countries in the world that the United States has more bilateral treaties with than Ukraine. Out of all the 100+ countries in the world, almost 200, I think. There's only four that have more bilateral treaties with the United States than Ukraine. I had no idea that Ukraine was that deeply involved with us.
You're Christian. Ukraine is Christian. My goodness, right? Okay, now wait a minute. Keep scrolling down here, Connor. Got rules for radicals up here. 13 rules for radicals. You guys got to, we got to wake up here, right? Somewhere you accuse your opponent of doing what you're doing. Where is that? Anybody know where that is? Okay, hang on. Let's go down these real quickly. I'm sorry. Hey, listen, those of you who hate Trump, go ahead and tune out. Go listen to Chuck Baldwin. Go ahead. Power's not what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Number two, never go outside the expertise of your people. They think Russia and the Ukraine are the same. Whenever possible, go outside the expertise of your enemy. They're doing that. Make the enemy live up to his own book of rules. They're doing that. Ridicule is man's most potent weapon. They're doing that. A good tactic is one your people enjoy. They obviously enjoy it. A tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. So they go to Ukraine rather than Russia. Keep the pressure on. Never let up. The threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. The major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. Are they keeping constant pressure on Trump or not? If you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. The price of successful attack is a constructive alternative. Pick the target, freeze, personalize it, and polarize it. That is it. And then one of the others is accuse the opponent of doing exactly what you're doing. We don't get it. All right, I made all the Trump haters mad. President Trump went to the UN and cried for religious liberty. And then I see people say, oh, yeah, well, he's just setting it up to bring those Noahide laws in. Oh, he's reeling you right in, boys. He's setting it up. And Jared Kushner's connected to Bibi Netanyahu. Netanyahu's got a girlfriend who's friends with Ivanka. And boy, oh, they're pulling a fast one on us. Oh, yeah. Well, then we're screwed, aren't we? Then we're screwed. I'm going to tell you something. If Trump's a fraud, we ain't got a chance. And you better be getting some ammo. I had a pregnant pause for a reason. I'm going to open it up right now. Somebody come in there and tell me what we ought to be doing. Trump's evil. Trump's a sellout. Trump's a part of the Mossad. Trump is a part of the Illuminati. Trump's Jared Kushner. He's pushing. He's a cabalist. Right? Okay, I'm out here. 7:41. Mark it down. Somebody tell me what we're going to do. We'll wait.
Well, Coach?
Go ahead. What are we supposed to do here?
Coach?
Yep.
I just wanted to say, this is Patrick. I just wanted to say that Donald Trump, when he was running, that he would probably be more conservative and act more conservative, even though maybe in his personal life he is not, which some claim to be, more conservative than any other president we have or ever had. And it's true. He is, because he knows, you know, because he loves America so much and thinks greatly of us and appreciates and likes
Patrick, that's all
moral values.
Patrick, no, that's all facade. That's all fake. He's a Kabbalist. He's in bed with the Jews. He's in bed with all of them. He can't wait for those Noahide laws to come in there. When he goes to bed at night, he's got a Jewish rabbi that comes and prays with him. That's where we are in this war that's going on around us. That's where some people are.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
No matter what, we're going to be judged individually. So what do we need to do about it? We need to stand for Christian values. We need to stand up for God and Jesus Christ, regardless of what Trump's doing. And we just need to keep working. We got to keep our heads down, just like the disciples after the resurrection, when they believed, and we got to work. It says, occupy until he comes.
So, Mark, if he is trying to get, Trump is supposed bringing in these Noahide laws, which is what everybody tells us. They're coming in with the Noahide law. Better watch out. They're coming in. Those Noahide laws. Here come those Noahide laws. Well, then we ought to know they're trying to bring in the Noahide laws and stand up and fight against them, right? Rather
Amen.
Than criticize Trump because he's bringing them in. Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe he does. If he knows what he's doing and he's trying to bring in the Noahide law to kill all of us, then we're screwed anyway.
Amen. And we can't forget that all leaders of nations are anointed by God.
Oh, man.
Obama, Clinton, Bush, Trump, they're anointed by God to fulfill God's will. Now, God doesn't want us to be evil, but his will is going to happen. You know, so
Amen.
He doesn't want any of us. He doesn't want any of us go to hell, but his will is going to happen. The Omega will occur. And we got to do our part, individual part. That's where we got to find our gifts and get busy and stand up.
We have to get busy and stand up. And so I'm asking people again right now, what do we do if Trump is a double agent? You believe he's a double agent. You believe he's working for Israel. You believe he's bringing in the Noahide laws. You believe he's a Mason. You believe he's a Kabbalist. I could go on and on and on and on and on. Let's say it's all proven true today. What is your solution? I'm listening. I'm listening.
Well, we need to realize that
1776.
1776. Well, Jack, it may come to that anyway, right?
Yep.
Good guy or bad guy. It may come. If you think the left, those, you can't see how the media and everybody's ganged up on Trump. They're playing a game. This is a big game that Trump's really on their team. Really? Really? And you think, you think that if he gets reelected, it's going to get easier? Are you kidding me? A house divided against itself cannot stand. If Trump is playing with the deep state, we are screwed. Go ahead, Jack.
It really doesn't matter. I think it's to do the right thing, but the essence of it is it's all about slavery. Whether he knows it or not, it is immaterial. The conservatives don't conserve. Liberals don't liberate. They are both wings of the same dodo bird, and it's all about slavery. And the people better stand up. This is the first major experiment since 1776 in freedom. And it was brought about by the Reformation, not by a bunch of smart guys that ended up in the District of Corruption.
This was Jack, same question. I'm coming back to the same question, Jack. I'm sorry, same question. If they impeach Trump tomorrow, who are you supporting? Who is the next man up? Who's the next man up? Oh, I know. Pence.
Roy Moore. Huh? Roy Moore. I'm going for Roy Moore.
Roy Moore ain't going to get it. He ain't going to get it. He's not going to question him.
How about Ted Nugent? I vote for Ted Nugent.
Yeah, but he ain't going to get it. You with me, right? They're never going to let. They're never going to let an outsider in there again. Ever let another outsider in there again. And some of you have been convinced that Trump's an insider. I believe he was at one point. I believe he was. I'm going to tell you something. Something tells me this, that guy is vengeful. He is vengeful. And you know what? Just bear with me a second. Donald Trump performed the greatest achievement of any human being in my lifetime. Jeb Bush had $100 million and got 3% of the vote. $100 million. Trump ran through those 15 Republican candidates like nothing we have ever seen. It was upset after upset after upset after upset, running through those guys. And he gets in there, and everybody's against him. The media's against him. He'll never win. He'll never win. He'll never win. And he wins. And it was the greatest achievement, certainly a political achievement, maybe in the history of America. There could be nothing quite like what that man did to win the presidency of the United States. And he's a very prideful man. And what are they saying? He went out and won it fair and square, and they're calling him a cheater. Did you guys ever in your life ever go out and actually earn something, really work really, really hard, and throw your heart and your soul and your energy into it, and at the end of the day, Rocky, yo, Adrian, we did it! And he did that. And then they call him a liar and a cheater and a traitor for 3 years. And he knows whatever happened, he did it. And they won't even give him the recognition. The most unbelievable upset.
Throw him under the bus, Coach. But many of the Republicans throw him under the bus. It happens all the time.
They did.
But this is a great example. Coach, listen. Trump is a great example. He showed that you can do it without having all the money, without having popularity. We all need to follow that same pattern. It's happened here in Maine a couple of times. And the Republican Party or the party in control throws you under the bus right after you win.
Amen. Because they're not of the same party, see? Oh, right. We see. People thought when Donald Trump, I'm not trying to idolize Donald Trump. People thought if Donald Trump ever ran for president, he was going to run as a Democrat. You guys know that, right? He was going to run as a Democrat. He took on the Bush dynasty. He took on the Clinton dynasty. Coach, it was all set up. It was just so we could get those Noah Hyde laws in here. That's really what he's controlled by the Masons and by the Israel lobby and Jared Kushner and Ivanka. Coach, he's just a... Have you lost your stinking mind? What is wrong with you? Now, are those forces at work around him? Oh, that could be. the scripture says that the heart of the king is as water in the hand of the Lord. He will turn it wherever he wants to. Ultimately, it ain't going to be Jared Kushner that's going to tell the Trump what to do. It's going to be the Holy Spirit, if he's God's man. And if he's God's man, as I've said before, I don't know if that's good or bad, boys and girls, because we deserve a spanking. We deserve quite a spanking, we Christian Americans. We deserve a spanking. And if the Lord sent Donald Trump to spank us, it's because we deserve it. But for you to be out there and think that this is all too big, two-card Monty, that he's playing both sides, you have no spiritual discernment. You have none. That's all I can say. That's all I can say.
Hey, Coach, something that keeps happening, too, is you still have Republicans or rhinos that are saying that they're not going to run anymore. So you still got Republicans that are getting out because they're part of the swamp. The Democrats aren't smart enough to figure that out.
Kevin, they've been trying for how many years to clear out the Republicans? How many years? Where's Paul Ryan? Anybody know what happened to Paul Ryan? Oh, he decided to retire, huh? Well, wasn't he head of the Republican Party? I wonder what Paul Ryan thought about Noah Hyde laws. I wonder if he was taking any Israel money. Huh? Well, if he was, how come he left? If he and Trump are both working for the Israel and the Masons, why'd Ryan quit? Oh, it's just it's a head fake, Coach. It's a bootleg. Ryan didn't really quit. And you don't believe in conspiracy theories. Yeah, you're living one. I didn't mean to talk about Trump. That's one I wanted to talk about today. I want to talk today about the rule of law. Do I have time? I don't have time. Antinomianism. Say what? Yeah, antinomianism. I give you time to do some research so tomorrow on Flea Flicker Friday you'll be a little bit more prepared for what it is that we're going to talk about. Because lawlessness is abounding. My friends, listen to me. There is no doubt, perfect evidence, that Joe Biden did exactly what they're accusing Trump of. Exactly. Equal justice. There is no justice. And I don't know why we can't see it. And if we can see it, I don't know why we don't do something about it. Because we're going to wait on, you're smart enough to know this, aren't you? That when there was no king in Israel, the scripture says, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Let me finish with this today. Jared, I just sent it to you. Connor, I just sent it to you, my commentary. Posted at newswithviews.com today. I'm going to read through this real quickly. Because this is it. This is a battle we're fighting. We're all fighting this battle. It's all being fought on our home front. Our battle's not in Washington, D.C. The battle's right here where I live, right in my family, right around my own public schools. The battle is right where I am. Right where I am. And we are in the mess that we are in because we have refused, we the church, have refused to stand up and fight. So I wrote today, I guess I'm just old-fashioned. One of the most difficult things about growing older is adapting to the newfangled ideas that people come up with. And I suppose it has always been that way, the idea that each new generation has different views on just about everything. But I think the things are really different now than they were when I was a kid. And although things were certainly different when I was a child, most young people held the same values as their parents. When I grew up, our values in our home were the same as my mom and dad. At least until the massive social upheavals that occurred during the turbulent 60s. And in my lifetime, I've watched the basic morality turned on its head. Back in the good old days of the Beatles and Bonanza, at least we had a common sense and agreement on things that were right and on things that were wrong. That's no longer the case. Morality today is nothing more than an opinion. As long as one can justify his or her own mind why something is moral, that nagging conscience is more easily soothed, and the sense of guilt that accompanies immoral behavior is more easily assuaged. Sadly, like so many others my age, I've come to realize that the idea of absolute right and wrong no longer exists. Truth has become an opinion. So to soothe my own soul, I thought I might take the liberty to stumble back into the corners of my mind and uncover the pillars that kept most Americans anchored a couple of generations ago. Here we go. You ready? I'm so old, I remember when elected officials were honest. I'm so old, I remember when couples got married if they had a child out of wedlock. I'm so old, I remember when we had gun racks in the back windows of our pickup trucks. I'm so old, I remember when we drove them to school. I'm so old, I remember when male Hollywood heartthrobs actually dated women. I'm so old, I remember when there was no school activities on Wednesdays because that is when families went to church. I'm so old, I remember when there were actually intact families. I'm so old, I remember when our elected officials were held to a standard of honesty. I'm so old, I remember when it was the pastors who held the elected officials accountable. Somebody say amen, you don't have to. I'm so old, I remember when it was a shame for a 14-year-old child to correct or disrespect an adult. Yeah, I'm old-fashioned, I know. I'm so old, I remember when you actually knew your neighbors. I'm so old, I remember when your neighbors actually acted like another set of parents. I'm so old, I remember when public schools actually taught the values of the public. And I'm so old that I remember when you had to love America to get elected to public office. I'm so old, I remember when boys were boys and girls were girls. I'm so old, I remember when pastors would never have permitted cross-dressers to read with children, to children. I'm so old, I remember when bearded women were only seen at the freak show and the circus. I'm so old, I remember when a dollar was backed by gold. I'm so old, I remember when adults protected children and didn't exploit them. I'm so old, I remember when education and indoctrination were different things. I'm so old, I remember when people actually hid certain behaviors in their closet. I'm so old, I remember when pornography was not considered protected speech. I'm so old, I remember when the name Jesus Christ was mentioned only as an object of praise. I'm so old, I remember when men protected children from predators. I'm so old, I remember when speaking the truth was considered loving. I'm so old, I remember when labor unions actually fought for the workers. I'm so old, I remember when teenagers were to be seen, not heard. I'm so old, I remember when climate change meant driving south in the winter. I'm so old, I remember when there was such a thing as common sense. I'm so old, I remember when conspiracy theories were not true. I'm so old, I remember when clouds were formed by nature, not by airplanes. I'm so old, I remember when pedo networks were considered conspiracy theories. I'm so old, I remember when pastors taught congregations to fear God. Yeah, I'm so old, I remember when an unborn baby's life is more important than his or her mommy's life. I'm so old, I remember when we were taught not to tolerate sinful behavior. I'm so old, I remember when pastors worked a full-time job. I'm so old, I remember when science was based on facts and not emotions. I'm so old, I remember when it didn't take a village to raise your kids. I'm so old that I remember when most of the things I just listed were not old-fashioned. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.